Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters from around the world. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a great day. Good Saturday morning. Good day to be alive. Thank God for your blessings. And send love to all of our brothers and sisters around the world. A prayer. All the people that are going through and wondering where God is, and He's with you. All we can do is just stand and know that God's got it. There's nothing else. Because if we could change it, we would put our hands in it, and of course we'd probably make a mess out of it, but we would definitely try to change it if we could. So the situation that we're in now with the coronavirus, the only person that has the answer and the cure is God, and He's going to release it when He gets ready to release it. In the meantime, we just got to draw near to God and ask for forgiveness, repent. And I know sometimes we think we don't have anything to repent for. Oh, I didn't do anything. I live a good life. Well, He said everybody have sinned and come short of the glory. So that's it right there. Everybody, including you. So let's all repent, whatever we contribute to what's going on in anger and God a little bit upset with us. You know, as His children, He told us all, go home. He gathered us all up to go home. But just like some children, they don't want to stay in the house. They want to go out, sneak out the window, out the back door, want to go play in the yard. And even though they were instructed to go in the house, go in their room and be still want to be defiant. We want to do it our way. And sometimes we get an extended spanking. So it's hard, not the easiest thing to do, especially when you're used to being active and going around, especially going to restaurants and, you know, go and get your nails done. You know, it's just life. You know, you just really don't realize how much time you spent doing other things. When now when you're at home and you look back over it, you can say, wow, I could have been doing this all along. I could have been doing my nails and I could have been doing my hair. And, you know, I could create my own gym in my house. And, you know, look at the money that you're saving. Look at the gas that you're saving by redesigning my life, redesigning your life. God is going somewhere with this. We just have to trust Him. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you and I say thank you, Father. Thank you for your blessings, for your chastisement upon your children. We don't understand it all the time, but we know in the end it's going to come out to be good for us. And I say thank you, Father God. Thank you for loving us, even when we are naughty and we're out of order. Thank you for loving us. And I ask you, Father, this morning to touch mothers and daughters around the world in every household. Touch the fathers and sons. Bring us all together. I can see your vision families coming back together in the household, having meals together, mothers and fathers actually talking to their children, listening to them, helping them with homework, just helping them when they feel like, you know, I need my mommy, I need my daddy. You're putting us all back together for a reason. It's a part of your vision to bring families together. And Father God, I ask that you just touch everyone this morning that have a loved one that they can't get close to, they can't hear, they can't talk to them. The ones that have lost loved ones that they didn't get to go and say bye. They, you know, their hearts are hurting this morning, Father God. I just ask that you give them the peace that you can give us all understanding. You know, you just don't understand it, but there's a peace within you. Give it to them, Father. And touch them and let them know that you are God, the God of Israel. And if they just come to you and ask for forgiveness, ask, each person ask for yourself, God, the God of Israel, if you would just bless me. But in order to do that, you got to ask for forgiveness. You got to repent. And God's going to bless you. And he's going to heal this earth. We each one has to do it. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. But if we each do it, go to God and repent, he'll forgive us. He'll lift the coronavirus, and he'll heal the land. And I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew, I'm telling you. Let me go get my co-host here. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
All is well. All is well. I will dare not complain. Dare not complain. Yep. And that's a great, gracious prayer and much needed. And you said some things that just went to the core of being home again and people are, I think people are starting to even appreciate simple life again with their families. I heard a couple of statements this past week that suggested that. And so when we can dare not take our loved ones for granted, when we can dare not take God for granted, then we are moving in the right direction. So I just thank God for that. And Alicia Keys made a statement when we were on, when she was on one of the commentators, and she said she just hoped that it's real and that it will continue even after this coronavirus is lifted, that people will continue to do what they're doing and not go back to their old ways.
Yeah, that's the thing. What is it going to look like beyond where we are now? You know, when I look back at it, and I'm looking at, you know, some of the social medias and I'm seeing the so-called what they call stars and people have looked up to. They are looking at, I'm at home now. I'm doing my own laundry. I don't have this person coming in, feed my children. I got to get up and cook. I've got to come up with some kind of game plan to entertain them, educate them, love on them. God is bringing families back together. We had just separated. Our children were eating in different places. We don't sit at the table anymore for dinner. Dinner was the place when I was growing up where you actually discussed things that went on during the day. And you had this, like I didn't because I'm an only child, but I had friends that had brothers and sisters that they said, okay, you just wait till we get to dinner. When we get to dinner, I'm going to tell mama, I'm going to tell daddy. You know, everybody fainted when you're talking about telling daddy. You know, mama, you could kind of, you know, you're scared of mama, but tell daddy. And so you can't eat waiting on somebody to tell. And I experienced it a little bit with my cousins. You know, we sit down eating at the dinner table, and then they got something to tell on me that I've done, and I can't eat, I can't chew the food. And I'd love to do them because I was the baby of the grands and the only girl. So, you know, if I told something on them, they're getting a spanking regardless. And a lot of times, you know, I'd make stuff up just to get them in trouble. You know, that's not good, mothers and daughters. But that was, I'm being real. That's the kind of games we played when we were kids. And so now we done got to the point where social media, people don't sit down and talk at the table. Even when you go out for a nice meal, everybody's on their phone. Everybody's on their phone,
yeah,
checking the social media. They don't even have a conversation. I had a young lady say, that she went out with somebody and on, you know, like a date, and the person was on the phone the whole time, you know, checking this and checking that and checking that. She got up and left. You know, really? You in love with your phone. So I just hope that we can get it, Cynthia, that because what is pressing now, they're pushing it. People don't realize you're pushing it toward disobedience still when God has shut it down. People still being disobedient, but they're doing what? Now they're acting out on social media. There's a lot of good on social media, people praying and they're coming together, but there's a lot of people doing things like, I won't even say, some things that they shouldn't be doing. I said, now if they mess around and God give us, take away the internet from us, then we really will be at a distance and he can deal with us because we won't be able to, you know, communicate back and forth like he did with the people that wanted to build the ladder to go up to heaven and talk to God. Like, we're going up here and talk to him. And he's like, you know what? They believe it. They can achieve it. So, you know, I'm going to have to scramble them a little bit with the voice. So everybody got a different language. And so I feel like if you keep messing with God now, he's going to mess around and he's going to cut off that internet, and then you're really going to have to deal with God. You're really going to have to deal with you because you're not going to be able to connect. God forbid. But just imagine if he did that, he would really get their attention because they won't have the internet and the phones to divide, to separate as a God between them and God. Go ahead.
Amen. I heard something this week as I was a sermon and I was taking notes, and it said that there are three different types of consciousness. There's the object conscious, and where people know what to do with that. You know, it consists of things, you know, because objects are things and they know what to do with things. They know what to do with abstract thinking. E equals MC squared. It's the conscious that they don't want to deal with, because the conscious leads to the I am. It leads to God. And people are doing everything they think they can not to deal with God. I thought that was like, wow, it makes so much sense. And so so we're going to have to deal with God. And if he take away this internet, you gonna have, sure enough, have to deal with him, because you ain't gonna have. I mean, you can do a whole lot of other stuff, absolutely, but you gonna hear me. that's all to it. At some point, every knee will bow because you gonna hear me. You know, so I just thought that was absolutely ingenious. It was a famous philosopher. I can't remember who it was, but I just thought that was good stuff.
Mhm. Yeah, that's good. The conscious is your connection, that intro conversation that I've been talking about since for years. Mike, managing your intro conversation. People are not getting it. That's where God is. That's where God is. And when he showed me that in 79, I was like, oh, my God, that's where God is. And the devil goes there. That's why he plays in that intro conversation arena, because he knows that he can distract you from listening to God. So he's going to tell you this crazy stuff and keep your conversations going on something negative, or they did this, or this is happening and I can't do this, or this is why this ain't going on. He got some kind of controversy going on in your conversation. But if you could just shut him down, get thee away from me, Satan, you will hear God. Because God is he's not going to try to compete with that nonsense that you're going through in your head. He's just going to sit back there and wait on you. That's why he said, be still. In the stillness is where I am. So when we're busy, we're too busy. Too busy. Everybody's competing, too busy. And I'm not complaining about anybody out there, audience. It's not what we're doing, because I got caught up to ripping and running here and everything, doing this, that, and the other. And although I spend the majority of my day in prayer, because, you know, that's who I work for. I don't have another job. I work for God. So just like you go to your job and you work 8 to 10 hours a day, I'm working 10 to 12 hours a day with God, because that's who I work for. That's my employer. And so we do the work, and we try to do the best we can when we're employed by somebody. And so with that being said, all I'm saying to you guys is just take some time and say, you know what, Lord, let me just spend 15, 20, 30 minutes and just sit down and be still and listen to you. I mean, how's that going to hurt you? Just to sit down and just be still for 30 minutes. I mean, come on. We look at a television show for 2 hours. You look at a movie and you won't move. You don't want nobody to talk to you. Can you just give God just a little bit? And I'm not trying to preach to you this morning, but we just got to send the message out that we have got to repent and we've got to all come together. They said we're all in this together. Yes, we are, but where are we in this together? In it because we're scared, or in it because we need to recognize that God is the only one that can get us out of it? All right, Cynthia, that's the top part of it. I'm going to go into what God has placed on my heart, and I'll come back and pick you up.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, mothers and daughters, wow. That's sort of our introduction, beyond the introduction of what I was told to speak on this morning. And, of course, you know, trying to get this, my computer to work, it got to be a little bit crazy this morning, but I said, you know what? It took me the 10 minutes till 10 just to get it straightened out. But you're not going to win. I am going to do this, and it's going to happen. And thank God I prayed, boy. I was praying, Lord, help me with this little computer. But anyway, it happened, and I thank God for it. For the newcomers coming on, again, good morning. I am Dr. Bessie, and I'm here on the roundtables with mothers and daughters from around the world, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. Our stimulating topic today is do this and your mother and daughter lives will change forever. And I know you said, what? Yeah, do this. Like, what's this, Dr. Bessie? And your mother and daughter lives will change forever. Now, I know you might be thinking, trying to figure out, what am I going to say? What is it? Is it something complicated? Do I have to take a 9-month course or even a 30-day program or step one, step two? If you do this in 7 days, this going to happen? You know, I'm not talking about any of that. And that's good for whoever is doing it. But see, God didn't create us to have to go through a lot of changes to get a change. Running in and out, look at me, here I am over here. Sometimes we get so prideful in ourselves that, you know, we want somebody to know we out here working. We want somebody to see that we went someplace yesterday and what vacation we went on. You know, pride before the fall. It's a simple thing. It's the simple things that confine the wise. It's so simple that we really don't pay attention to it. Now, I want you to hold on to that, because I'm going to come back to it. It's so simple. If I told you now, I might as well go ahead and end the show, because it's that simple. So we're talking about mothers and daughters, and we're talking about what they can do to change their lives. There's so many things that you can do. But will you do them? I tell you, I've had so many mothers and daughters calling for different reasons, different things going on. And I know the pressure. We're not used to being in the same space too long. Most of the times we sleep in the same space and we get up in the morning and say, good morning and how are you doing and how's your day? You know, what you got for today? A little simple talk as you get dressed or as you fix your breakfast or as you pack your bag to go to work. You know, you'll have these conversations with your back turned to your daughter or your mother, or you're on the phone trying to schedule an appointment and you're talking to your daughter. Vice versa, the daughter's on the phone texting her friends and letting them know, I'm on my way, I'm coming. Whatever it may be, your normal lifestyle, but it has changed. But in the midst of being in those walls and they're feeling like they're coming together, I had a young lady told me, she said her daughter called her crying. And she's in another house, her house, with her children. She calls her mother crying. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it because she has two babies. I can't take it anymore. I need some help. I can't stay in here like this. And she having to work from home, take care of two babies, and get ready, for, I guess, so fix dinner for her husband when he comes home. He's a front, one of the, what do we call the, front runners for us, and she's crying out. I think I'm getting depressed. I had another mother to call me, her daughter, 10 or 11 years old. She's driving me insane because we are what? We're seeing our children for the first time. Had another mother to call me, a daughter to call me, concerned about her mother, because she has to take care of her. Don't want to send her to a nursing home. The risk at the nursing home now are so great. What do I do? The stress of being within a small space together. But all of the stress is not necessarily coming because you're in a small space. I want you to get it, mothers and daughters, from those hidden secrets. Hidden secrets that you have in your heart. The things that you refuse to talk about. Now you got to look at this person on a daily basis. And you can't leave them. You have nowhere to go. It's not the space. Not the space that you're walking around in. It's the space in your mind. It's your intro conversations that's going off. Because now you internally you have to deal with those hidden secrets. As long as the person is not in front of your face, you got other things to distract you. You got your friends. You could go shopping. You could get your nails done, to the movies. You could just walk outside and sit by the lake. Whatever. Because you're not seeing that person. Your eyes are on something else. As Cynthia said earlier, you got other objects that are in your mind's eye. You can see it, and you're studying that, and you're concentrating on that. And this other issue of hidden secrets is still in your heart, but you don't have to deal with it. See, that thought is hidden. But now you're in front of that person, and now you have to really deal with those intro conversations. Those thoughts are coming up, those hidden secrets, those things that you didn't say that you wanted to say, and it's really acting out in your behavior. And that's where the stress of it is coming in at. The daughter is angry with you. She already told you, I don't like you. You didn't want her to go wouldn't let her go someplace, and she's held that. I hate you. I mean, you know, I would never say that to my mother because I wouldn't be here talking to you. We allow the children to talk back to us, some of us, not every mother. But we know that the teenagers now live in a whole different world. I was listening to Bruce Wilkinson last night, and he had a demonstration about three chairs. The first chair was Joshua. The second chair was Joshua's children. The third chair was Joshua's children's children. And he demonstrated how Joshua, they were sold out. His generation was sold out for God. They had seen the miracles. They lived in the miracle. They saw him open up the Red Sea, dry the land, and they walked through. Come on now. Can you imagine the Red Sea? I mean, the sea is up, way up on both sides, and you little people walking through the Red Sea and come out on the other side and he closed it? Joshua said, I believe. That's why he went to the promised land, because he believed God. When everybody else forgot, they just like, oh, fussing and complaining, and then God give them manna from the sky. Well, we're thirsty. God hit the rock. Moses hit it. Water came out. They see miracle after miracle after miracle. But they didn't trust God. But Joshua trusts God. And then next come his children who saw him. And they believed some of it. But then they started doing their own thing. New generation, that's what they say, you know. We're the new generation, so we can't do it the way y'all used to do it. So, yeah, they knew God, but they wasn't sold out on God. And then their children, looking at them, and the way he described this thing is just unique because, you know, that middle generation, they pretend to be sold out for God. They go to church and act like they sold out for God, people, but when they come home, the children see them being another person. They see them fussing all the way to church. He gets out. This is a demonstration, he says, and I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. He gets out. The father gets out. Him and the wife, he done fussed at her all the way to church. He gets out. He gets his Bible put on his arm. He opens up the door. She gets out. The children get out, and they go into church, and here he is. Good morning. How you doing? The Lord is good, isn't he? Bless the Lord. Oh, yeah, oh, my soul. Yeah. Blessed and highly favored, and everybody gets in the church, and the children are watching. And then the pastor asks him to pray, and he gets up and then he put on a prayer like you wouldn't believe. Church out, they get in the car, and they go back, and they start back with the same argument coming back home. And when they get home, he gets out the car, and don't even open the door for the wife because nobody's watching, and he goes inside the house and throw his Bible on top of the dresser. Don't get it till next Sunday morning. Generation is watching this generation. And they said, you know what? I don't even want to go to church because y'all are hypocrites. If this is what it is, because, see, they don't know Joshua. They don't know the ones that were sold out. So why am I telling you this story? Because, mothers, we have a responsibility to show our children God. Because if we don't show them God, they will never know who he is. They will never know the miracles that he performed. If you don't tell him, if you don't take them, and I'm not talking about taking them to church. Church is just a social gathering so you can come together and celebrate God. But I'm talking about you teaching your children. They don't understand why they have to come inside and shut the door. They have no reference point. So that's why you're having a lot of pressure within the house, because they don't understand
Why we got to come inside? Why I can't go to school? Why did I go to school for 12 years and I can't graduate? Why I'm not going to my prom? I went to school. I did good, Mama. I went to college. I finished all my courses. Florian, why I can't walk across the stage and graduate and get my college degree? They don't know. They don't know why coronavirus is taking us through this journey. Until we, the second chair, bring up Joshua, Moses, Elijah, you know the two, I got to get them mixed up, Abraham, until we show them the ones that were sold out for God and all the miracles that God has done, Jonah, Noah, they don't know. They don't know. And if you don't show them and you don't tell them the good that God has done, we'll begin to hate God. They'll think God is some mean old God up in the sky. He just punishing us. Why would God do this to us? Why would God take my grandmother with the coronavirus? Why would God take my daddy with the coronavirus? They have no reference point. And mothers, I'm calling on you. You, we are the ones that have to tell the children the truth. We are the ones. Get off the phone. Your gram. Just for an hour and tell them about God. Let them know who God is, what he's done, and who created them. They don't have a clue that God created them. They don't have a clue that God placed them in your belly and he birthed them into this earth for a purpose. They don't have a clue unless you teach them about God and that there is a reason for the coronavirus. Give them the history. Give them the history of when you are disobedient and God has asked you what the possibilities can be. Because they don't know. The second chair. Have to teach the third. But before you can teach the third chair, you got to go back and get it for yourself. You got to go back and read. You got to go back and find God for yourself and talk to God and say, God, show me. I want to get back. I want to be in the first chair, God. Let me sit in the first chair so that I can raise up a whole new generation for the second chair and the third chair. And that's been the mission behind the Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries, is to teach mothers how to raise up a whole new generation. No better time than the coronavirus affects now to the forefront. We are responsible. So when I saw that demonstration last night, it was so clear to me. I was like, oh my God. And then he said, where are you? Just find out, where are you? Are you in the first chair? Are you sold out for God? Are you sold out? You know your purpose? You doing your purpose? Don't mean you're perfect, but you're so sold out for God that you're saying, God, if I make a mistake, please correct me. You get up in the morning, God, what can I do for you today? How can I serve you today? I'm sold out. I'm willing to put everything that I have down so that I can serve you. What can I do for you? Do you do that? Then if you don't, then you're in the second chair. Go to church. Come home. Put your Bible down. Don't read it till the next week. Or if something come up, you get scared, you go run to the Bible and then try to find a Bible verse or try to find something. Are you sold out that you're working and teaching and talking to God and being his assistant? I even asked God,
lesson you want me to do today, let me know. Send me an assignment. And I'm telling you, assignments are coming. I started that. I said, God, just send me an assignment. Who would you like to help through me? People call all the time. I don't get weary because those are my assignments. And I'm not talking because I'm a psychologist and a chaplain and thinking that, oh, yeah, they're calling me and I'm charging them money. No, I don't charge people. That's the assignment God gives me. My job is to be still and let God use me to speak to them. Not to worry about money. God takes care of me. My money is my help. So I'm working hard to be in the first chair. Where are you? Are you in the first chair? Are your children in the third chair? When they don't pay you any attention, when you speak to them, they act like you don't exist. You got to say it 10 times in order for them to say, I heard you. Come on now. I ain't even going to go there because I just can't even imagine a child of mine talking to me like that. It's not going to happen. Pearl was in the first chair when it came to discipline. And now I'm in the first chair with that. There's a certain amount of respect you want to give me. I'm going to give you respect, even though you're my child and my grandchildren. But there's a line that will not be crossed. Because, see, we didn't start doing it today. I started that when she was in my womb. I started talking to her. And the relationship we have now, people said, oh, you and AJ have a great relationship. Yeah, we work at it. And I started working at it when she was in my womb. And we've always had the communication. We can communicate. We can talk. Not afraid to talk to each other. Not afraid to tell the truth. So now, back to the topic of the day. Do this and your mother and daughter lives will change forever. And what is that? You've got to apologize, mother. Simple. Apologize to your daughter. And then you got to sit down and ask her. And don't go through this thing, what did I do, Dr. Fletcher? Why do I have to apologize? I've heard that all during the 20 years I worked with mothers and daughters. That's the first thing come out of a mother's mouth. What do you mean apologize? She's my daughter. She's just a kid. Why am I going to apologize to her? You're going to apologize because you're in the second chair. She sees the inconsistencies in you. She hears you when you pretend to be one person on the phone or one person when you're in somebody's face, and then when you come home, you treat them differently. She sees inconsistency. So then she has no respect for you. How many times have I heard daughters say to me, she's a hypocrite? Because I tell them, when you come in here, you can say whatever you want to say, and I ask the mother, do they have permission to tell me what they have on their mind? Mother, yes, okay, we good. And don't let me tell you, they talk. No punishment, no repercussion. They have the free will. Yes, okay. Daughter, start talking. You're a hypocrite. Like one, I always use this example when I'm thinking about it. It's like this little girl, 3 years old, watching her mother. She's talking, you know, you on the phone talking. The kids in the back, conversations with your girlfriends or whoever. And you're talking about Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones get on my nerves. Every time I see her, she just run up there and want to kiss you on your face, wet, sloppy kisses, and, you know, just get on your nerves. I can't stand Mrs. Jones and this, that, and the other. And the little girl is listening. But Sunday you get dressed up, and you get your little Bible, and it's got on the little handle, what would God do, or what would Jesus do? You got your cross on there and your symbols, and you're ready to go. And then you get in the church and you see Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones come up with that wet kiss that flops right on your jaw. And you're, oh, Mrs. Jones, how you doing today? You look so good. You look so pretty. and the little girl looking at you, and she's saying to herself, she doesn't even like Mrs. Jones. She's lying. You're in the second chair. Now your daughter's in the third chair looking at you. She's like, if that's the God that they serve, I don't need that. That's why our children is out of order. That's why we're not sold out for God. They can't see God. They don't know God, let alone knowing Jesus or the Holy Ghost Spirit. They don't know any of that. They can't know Jesus and the Holy Ghost if they don't know God. You're not sold out for God. You can't teach your children about God. And I truly believe there's not a mother out here that have not experienced a miracle from God. Every last one of you have had a miracle from God. And that's where you start. You start telling about the miracle God moved in your life. I remember when I didn't have any money to feed you. The rent was due. We were going to be put out. I cried out to God. And I said, God, if you would just help me. See, when we ask God to help us, be selfish. God, help me. God sent food. Money came in. The rent was paid. So now your child is going to look and say, wow, who's this God? You just asked him to help you, mommy, and he helped you? Yeah. God took care of the rent, and I went out, and God made it sure that I got a job. See, we don't tell the children what God has done for us. All they see is the inconsistencies in your behavior, in your conversations. They don't know God. I hope somebody's hearing me out here. So now we have the coronavirus going on. Children are angry. Teenagers are angry. They want to go out. They want to be with their friends. Why is this happening? Why we don't have any toilet paper? Isn't that the craziest thing? This thing is built around toilet paper. Can't so understand that. Why are people going crazy about toilet paper? Why can't I go to my friend's house? Why do we have to wear masks? Why do we have to wear gloves? What is a virus? No. So now you've apologized. And now you need to sit down and have this conversation. And then you're going to forgive whatever. It's between the two of you. The two of you are going to forgive each other. Because once you show her God, and once you show her the word of God, and once you show her the miracles that God has worked in your life, and you can go to the very basic miracle, being able to breathe in the air of life. Every breath I take, baby, is a miracle from God. I breathe in and I exhale. And as long as God gives me air to breathe in, I will exhale. But one day, I'm going to exhale and I will not be able to inhale. I will have transcended. We've got to tell the truth. If you're in the middle chair, mothers, it's time for you to move over to the first chair. That comes from repentance, that's come from talking to God, that comes from looking at the Word of God, taking that refresher. If you've never been saved, you can ask God to come into your heart. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you repent and you turn from your ways. Now you're in a position, first chair. And God, I'm sold out for you. I'm willing to do what your will is and not mine. Sold out means lay your little ideas over to the side
and say, I'll do what you want me to do, God. If you're not willing to do that, you can't sit in the first chair. You'll remain in the second chair, and your children will remain in the third chair. They will never get to move to the first chair because they don't even know about the first chair. You've hidden the first chair. All they can see is you in the middle chair, and they can't see God. You do that, and it will change your life forever. Isn't that simple? It will change your life forever. Not a rocket scientist to figure that out, but I think that's simple enough. When you do it, your children see you doing it, then they will do it. And then now we're raising up a whole new generation, a whole new generation for God, because I can see God, Angie can see God, Jared and Josh can see God, Connor can see God. See, you've got to sit in the right chair in order for your children to join you in the first chair. Doesn't mean the chair can hold one person. I want all of my children in the first chair with me. As he said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because we're sitting where? In the first chair. All right, Cynthia, that's what the Lord placed on my heart this morning.
Well, it's definitely that simple, but unfortunately, we're dealing with a generation, and like you said, it's a generation of people, unfortunately, that missed the chair, and unfortunately, mothers have fell into the they fail for the lie that something is wrong with their children. They don't think they can discipline them, and that's why they can't be in the same space with their children, because now they can't say anything to them because they have brought them up believing that something is wrong with them, and so they can run around and act out and be all over the place without discipline. And I'm talking about mothers who fail for the okey-doke of their children have ADHD and ADD. They tried that stunt with me with my two sons. I said, you will never put one of these on your medicines, because all they need is an A-whooping and some discipline and some floor time. And mothers, unfortunately, in this generation, they're so busy making excuses for their children why they can't be disciplined, why they can't sit still, why they can't be attentive, that we have missed the boat. And I know that this is to be true, because I have, and I'm not going to use any name, but I know two young ladies, they're sisters, and they both have kids, but one family is so disciplined, the children are so well mannered, and the other one, the kids are all over the place. You can't even go to the house, the children all over you and all over the front of you and all, and just going wild. And if you ask questions about the kids, they're so busy making excuses that they ADHD that you can't even get a word into her, the mother, that makes sense, because she's so busy. She's preoccupied, number one, with self, always about herself. She's always dismissive about anything that her children, if you say anything to her about her children. And what it equals to is fear, anxiety, and avoidance, attachment. That's the kind of relationship she had with her kids. And unfortunately, their two sisters, they both are educators. How you deal with other people's children, but you can't deal with your own children? That's an oxymoron for me. But she's so busy defending that the children have ADHD and always bragging about how smart they are. Nobody cares how smart they are when they're unruly and undisciplined. And the same thing goes for her. She's very book smart, but she's unruly and she's undisciplined. And her children see this, and the children act just like her. And it's heartbreaking to see it, because they're dear to me. But if you say something to them, then the mother get involved. You can't say nothing to the daughter. You can't say nothing to the grandkids because they all live that preoccupied, dismissive, fearful, anxious, avoidance, attachment style. And we wonder why our children are off the rail. Our children are off the rail because we bought into the lie. And until you take your children back from the world, because you've handed them over to the world by determining to allow them to dictate what you can and do or can't do with them, you will always have this generation of young people. And it's not until we get back, like you said, Dr. Fletcher, to what God says about our children. God tells us if you spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Yeah,
that ain't something we wrote down. He stated that. So that's my thought on it, Dr. Fletcher. And then I heard this little girl over the radio, the perfect demonstration of what you said about Miss Jones. She said, I have something to say. She's on YouTube. It's the cutest thing, but then she gets a little groan, if you will, at the end. And so I kind of lost the little cuteness about it. But she said, y'all tell us to behave, y'all tell us to be good, y'all tell us to share, but y'all don't do it. I was like, wow, out of the mouth of babes.
I tell you, the children, listen, the children will tell you the truth, man. I'm telling you they'll tell
because
you the truth.
Yeah. But then it went beyond that, and she got a little grown, and she started telling, you know, that's where I kind of lost a little cuteness and it was feeling her at that point. Because the one thing about me, I've never been able to deal with children who act mannish, as the old people used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got to take our children back from the ways of the world. God tells us to be of the world, but not in it. In the world, but not of the world. Not the ways that the world is telling you to dictate how you raise your children and discipline them. That you've got you thinking something wrong with your children. God said he give us a sound mind. It's very few children. There are some, but there are very few in the big scheme of things that has that diagnosis. That is a true diagnosis. The rest of them just bought into it, and they don't want to deal with their children, so they just give them a pill and have them sit down and start drooling in the corner and put them to bed and put them to sleep because they just want them. It's that avoidance that is ruining our children and our lives with our children and the fact that they have no discipline. And until we take our children back from the world, we're going to see more of the Joshua generation. That first tier, that second tier, they're going to always be in that third tier because we have lost our children to the ways of the world because our fear, our preoccupation, our dismissiveness, our anxiety. Well, if I tell her this, she ain't going to love me. What? No, she going to love you more. If you make her behind sit down, she going to love you more. Because you're going to teach her to avoid a whole bunch of crazy when you ain't around by learning to walk away and to sit down somewhere, getting out of people's face, trying to be grown.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me to share, Dr. B.
All right. I'm telling you, I guess they say, we're not beating up on you. It's time that somebody has to listen. You know, when you said that, I my mother, she always would tell me that, you know, when adults are there, I don't mind you being in the space because, you know, when she was raised, she said she didn't like the fact that when people came over, the parents would put them out the house, really. Y'all go out and play. Couldn't even stay in the house. And she said, and people would come and they'd have dinner and they'd have to wait until everybody else ate, and then they would have to eat. And so she had certain things that she said, I would not do. When someone came to our house, she fixed my plate first, and I sat at that table. But I knew, when I was sitting at that table, I knew how to conduct myself because it was grown people's conversation. And when I finished my meal, I would dismiss myself and go to my room. But now, children, they going to tell you whatever they think. Not all children, a lot of them. But that's why I feel that God has placed us in the position that we are in now. And people say, well, God didn't do it. I tell them, I said, you know, you can say God did it, God didn't do it. All you got to do is be in the first chair and know what God did do. Open up the ground and swallowed up 3,000 people because they talked about Moses. Did he allow that to happen? No, he did that. So, you know, when Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they lied to the Holy Ghost and they dropped dead right then. God don't play. See, you got to know who God is, and that's why he said you got to fear God. He'll let you go and he'll let you go, but the wrath of God will get you. You're not going to keep going and playing. He's the father. You're the child. And if he doesn't discipline us, then how do we expect him to think that we should discipline our children? It's a simple thing. He's disciplining us now. So now you can say your child got whatever he or she has, deal with it, and they're in the house with you. They're not at the school running the teacher crazy. You got to look at your own child. I was writing something this past week, Cynthia, and it came to me, the Holy Spirit speak to me, and it was like, spoke to me, and it says, now that we are all on the same level, there are no superstars now. There's no one that you got to run to and think that they, oh, this one has got more money than you, and it's got more money than me, and they got a better house than me and all that. None of that matters now. They're saying, oh, we all in this together. But they weren't saying that 5 months ago. But see, we're on the same playing field. We're on the same level. And the question is now, or the statement is, now you can look up to you. Instead of looking up to who you think is a superstar, now you're all at home. I don't care how much money you have, you can't go to the restaurant. You can't get on planes and go nowhere. That money you can't spend. You don't have someone taking care of your nails and your children. You got to fix your own food. We all on the same level. To you, what are you doing? Who are you? What is your relationship with God? Think about it. It's a good show. I'll be right back, Cynthia.
Yes, ma'am.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, Cynthia, good show. Thank you, mothers and daughters, for listening this morning. Share the message and just think about it. What chair are you in? And a simple solution, you can easily move to the other chair. Just go to God. Have a good week.
Amen.
Cynthia, thank you very much. We'll see y'all next week.
You're very welcome.
Same time, same place, if God allows. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye.